So that you understand the prospect system, listen to the Sandler perspective.
It's a four-step process. Step number one, they keep their cards pretty close to the vest. They don't want to really tell you all of their issues, their frustrations too quickly, because they may what? Lose leverage. They don't want to tell salespeople too quickly what our issues are, what our budgets, what our decision processes are, because really, quite frankly, we don't want to be taken advantage of. So they mislead you on purpose, not because they're bad people, because really they're just protecting themselves. It's called self-protection. Why do they do that? Listen, I play poker. Some of you may play poker. We certainly don't look to the person to the left of us and say, I've got three kings. I'm about to bet X amount of dollars. What do you have? They would say, hey, I'm not going to tell you what I have. Everybody kind of keeps these cards close to the vest because they don't want to share that information because why? Sure, they think salespeople are going to use that against them as leverage. You walk in, suddenly the smile goes away. They fold their arms and say, what do you have? Show me everything. And so that buyer-seller wall goes up because that environment's not there yet. But why is that true? Well, if you think about it, prospects know that every one of us goes to sales schools. They know that you've been taught the alternate choice close. Would you like me to come over Monday at 3, Tuesday at 4? Would you like me to ship you one of these or 10 of these? You know, so zero is not an option ever. So they've gotten bombarded for years by amateur salespeople. We all know the one. If I could show you a way to get into this particular thing today, would you do it? You know, and if prospect says, well, I've got a real problem with service, amateur salespeople always come back. Well, if I could show you a way that we can improve service, could you buy today? And so they feel all this pressure. So they've been taught, hey, don't say anything because you're going to get closed. We've really created that. And here's what I meant when I said earlier, that we actually buy this way too. Put yourself in this scenario. You've decided that you're going to go out and buy a couch. And you even know the color. Let's say it's a red couch. You know that you want to spend about $2,500 for this couch, and today's the day. We've all been to furniture stores, right? So you know that there's a salesperson waiting for you to come through the door with the little clipboard that they have. As you walk in, you know, I want a red couch, it's $2,500, and today's the day. They say, may I help you? What do you say? Exactly. No, just looking. Because if you said to them, yeah, today's the day, I want a red couch, and I want to spend $2,500. In your mind, you think, hey, I could have gotten that couch for $800. Or they're going to take me to the $4,500 section. So you want to check it out yourself. So you do to others what others do to you. Kind of interesting. Let's talk about the second stage, presentations and proposals. This is where they want to know what you know. Prospects understand that you are highly trained in your field. You have spent countless hours in product training. You encounter their issues over and over. They've encountered it once, but you do it every single day. So they understand that. They want to know what you know without paying you for it. That's the key. So they're in the information gathering phase. They want to really just do a mind meld with you. Tell me everything that you know. And give me a proposal, give me a presentation. We've all heard it. This is what I call the free consulting phase. We're in an office and they say to you, well, we're not sure if we have any interest. We may not, you know, we have some issues, but we're kind of neutral on this. And that's step one. But what we'd like you to do is maybe to go back and spend some time doing a proposal and come back and give us a presentation of how you think you may be able to help us. Now, as a salesperson, we're thinking what? Oh, they have interest. Oh, I got one. We're going to actually go back in the car and tell our boss, hey, got one. Well, what do we have? We've got a person that may not be willing and able to move forward, may not have any sort of problem, but they're willing to have us give a proposal to come back and do a presentation, of which, by the way, as salespeople, we spend a lot of time and energy. Do you know? I read an article a couple years ago, and it said that studies show that on average, costs an organization about $30,000 from start to finish on a sales process. Start to finish. So as a salesperson, think about this, and not you, obviously, but other salespeople. I was about to go make more cold calls, but the prospect asked me for a proposal. So now I get to go back to the office and do that. See, that's how amateur salespeople that aren't in the President's Club react. They're so excited to go do this busy work thinking that it's going to work out. It doesn't work out. What they've done is they've wasted a lot of time and energy. So we've all been there. So here's what happens. Let me put you in the scenario. Prospect says, go back and do a proposal and come back and give us a presentation. We go and spend a couple days doing that. We've wasted a lot of time and energy thinking that we've got a prospect who is interested. We come in, we've got our PowerPoints done, we're ready to go. And I've seen some presentations out there. They are phenomenal. They are great. We sit there, we do it, we do our presentation, we got the PowerPoint going. And at the end, you're breathing a little heavy because it's tough work doing this presentation. And you say to them, what do you think? And here's step number three. You slide right in. You don't even know you're there. Here's what they say. Dave, that was a great presentation. What we have to do now, though, is to really form a committee, to start a study, to see if this is something we want to consider. So what they've done is mislead you on the next step. Here's what's going on. They've committed to nothing. They've taken all your information, all of your free consulting, and they've committed to no next step. That's the worst thing that could happen to a salesperson. Salespeople don't know it. Amateur salespeople, they're excited because they didn't hear a yes, but more importantly for the amateur, they didn't hear a no. Here's what the prospect said. Whew, that was a great, great presentation. Wow, I got to tell you, we didn't have much interest before you came here, but you've really shared some great stuff with us. You've really given us food for thought, Dave. You can see salespeople just getting pumped up. Yeah, I spent a lot of time on that. In reality, what's happened? They should have said, Dave, we appreciate you spending the week of your time out there doing a lot of this free consulting. What we'd like to do now is to take this information and shop it. We've all seen our competitors' proposals out there, haven't we? Of course, and we'd be naive to think they didn't see ours. This is what prospects do. They're using our presentations and proposals to shop and to gain leverage. It becomes an uneven playing field because you don't have the next step. And that's really what step number three is. So they commit to nothing, but they give you a stroke. Professional buyers always give you a compliment. And that's why we're okay not getting the order, because we still think that they're interested. Now, they should have said, hey, thanks a lot. We've got all the information. Chances are we're going to stay with what we've been doing now and probably implement all of your solutions without paying you for it. But they can't say that now because they may need more what? Yep, that's right. Free consulting. So they kind of drag you through. So here's what happens. They'll call you about 2 weeks later and say, wow, hey, I got to tell you, you've really gained some excitement in the company. But somebody had a question. How would you solve XYZ problem? Now, the salesperson on the opposite end's like, well, how would I solve that? Let me get right back to you. We spend more time. We get our technical people involved. We come up with another solution and we give it to them. And the buyer says, wow, that's great. You guys are thought leaders. Let me get the group into this and we'll get back to you with our thoughts on this particular approach that you've taken. And now you move into step four. You slide so quietly, you don't even know you're there. Step four is chase mode. You can't find them and they won't return phone calls. That's the fourth step. We've all been there. These are the people who will not answer your calls anymore. I call it being stuck in voicemail jail. When they wanted free consulting, they would call you back instantaneously. But when they had everything, now you're in chase mode. How many times have you deleted at home or at work salespeople chasing you? I bet it's all the time. Same thing's happening to amateur salespeople. They're in chase mode, and the prospect is simply deleting it. In the old days, sales trainers used to say, well, call the prospect before 9 o'clock or after 5. That way you could get there before the gatekeeper gets there and they can't put you in voicemail because chances are they'll answer their own phones. Well, guess what? They knew that. They figured that out. So there was an emergency meeting of the International Purchasing Agents. And what they did is they developed this thing called voicemail. So now we're all stuck in it. So have you ever seen that process where you go in, you got that buyer-seller wall goes up. They say, because of some questions that you may have asked on a superficial stage, they say, yeah, we'd like a presentation. Come back in and do us a proposal and presentation. We go there, they commit to nothing, and then we're in voicemail jail. I think we've all experienced that before we got involved with Sandler. And by the way, if you're in that process now, enjoy the ride because you can't get out of it. all right? But what you can do by following the Sandler selling system is identify that and take a new approach and to really have a win-win for both you and the prospect.